pray to all those that have been sent and spoken to and we protect coming in the new year. We use this year is about close to 2 months. But it's still a new year if we haven't seen one another in last year. I hope all of us have rested. I hope that it's not a form. Please try and get in contact with our phones, your silence. I hope all of us have rested. Because it's going to be a very challenging year. Every year in Parliament, for members, public representatives, in this case, we are always in a ruler state. We are always having down, having chicken. We by the nature of by virtue of the office sector, because this sector is motive by its nature. With all its politics, with all its ideologies, with all its views, we are always on our toes. But I think important is that when we are on our toes, we must be focused, we must be cool. But always we have to humble ourselves. Because if we don't humble ourselves, it means we're not going to respect one another. And if we don't respect one another, then that we are moderately doing it differently. And when we're indisciplined, we're not going to be able to do the work that we are charged to do in Parliament, not just from our political party. But here, we are not a committee of this, we are a committee of Parliament, given the responsibility to monitor all the issues and the mandate that has been given to the Department of Health was ours is to bring oversight. And the oversight is done here in the committee. And I hope we are up for that challenge. It's a challenge that is going to need our unity and our commitment. Commitment not to our change the social conditions of life in this sector. Those are the opening remarks and welcoming everybody. And what we will do is always a practice and a norm. come good morning at continental experience of social nothing future for coffee. I enjoy this watch I need a lot of scotch. Oh, okay. Now I started the year with my own project of coffee. Dr. James and Dr. Musa, James Trevor, get some treatment for my brain cells. On my left, I've got Ms. Majalama, who's the committee secretary. On the far right, it's Zubair, who is our researcher. Next to him is our content advisor, Lindo Kose. Against the wall, it's Bali. Was the committee assistant. And Nandi, who is our media. Moses, who is also part of the research. She will, from there, she will then introduce themselves. My apologies.
Good morning, Chief. I'm also Lindo. My name is Kora Fani, and I'm from the Ministry of Honor.
Can we then allow the department before we come to our guests?
Good morning.
Good morning, committee. My name is Zoe Hove. I'm the Registrar of Medicine.
Good morning, everyone. And optimism. I'm Shabir Benu from the National Department of Health.
My name is Chair and honorable members. My name is Fulana Koshi from the National Department of Health.
My name is Chair.
Good morning all, my name is Ezra Lufwalo, I'm with the National Department of Health.
Good morning Chair, honorable members, I'm very humble and so forth.
Good morning, I'm Bongani, Kesha from PMG.
We have got the cook of the agenda in front of us. looking into the agenda items, the production welcoming has been done. Then we are on two, which is apologies. But before that, let us say, I think it was appropriate to welcome back Honorable Stephen Murray, who has not been with us for some time due to have the problems, but we are happy and we are glad that Honorable Member, you are back in the two feet and the full swing. In fact, appears stronger than ourselves. And welcome you back to the committee. And
thank you, Chair.
We have got an apology. The only apology that we have is that of Honorable Iman Chee from the NLP. On the point of the agenda, we have got correspondence. Honorable Iman.
Sorry, Chair, I've got an apology. I request to the release of 12th bit. Attempt to be with
all right. All of us have got copies of the agenda in front of you. There is an item written correspondence. Before we start, I think it's going to be important that we look into that correspondence. It is a correspondence from the Traditional and Natural Health Alliance, which is requesting to make a follow-up presentation to the portfolio committee. And it reads as follows. Subsequent to our previous engagement on the 29th of October last year and upon a resolution of the committee, extended an invitation to our organization to return and make further input on the medicine and related substance bills basis of 2014. We hereby request an appropriate time slot to make our follow-up submission. This engagement will be to explain the various constitutional issues we have identified with the bill and our legislative proposal to avert the same. Only four members of our organization will attend. Please, you will be kind enough to indicate when we make our presentation, we're in the final stage of analyzing our follow-up written submission. We look forward to your further questions. I thought that it is important that this correspondence be put in front of the committee. And well, I'm not just going to read and let it and put it aside, but it's going to be important that members just in the next few minutes, and I think I will not explain what transpires to the way we are now in terms of this organization. Can I have some input, feelings, views? The reason that I'm the chair is taking this approach is that it's common knowledge that they did come. Now, as they are making this request, it is important that the committee deliberate on their request and raise the fees so that we are able to move forward. One wouldn't like to that we proceed with our agenda without attending to this. Anything? Honorable James. Honorable James, and honorable number. Honorable Mahlatsi. I don't know if it's good to change before we start. Because she was friendly. Okay.
Thank you, Chair. I think it's important that we allow them time. Because there is no rush. In fact, whether it's there is a rush, but it's important that we get everyone on the rush. So that whatever the outcomes are, everybody can go.
Well, I agree with that sentiment, except you establishing a precedent. As we've already presented, we
which case, how can we refuse presentations from those who also want to have second part of the sharing? So we really just have to be careful of that.
So, there's something I need to hear from you. You will be fine for me anyway.
All right, thanks, I apologize. If we allow an organization to do a second presentation, we set the precedent, that's all. So we cannot say no to anybody else who wants to make a second presentation to this committee.
I think if we're talking about the group that came and made a presentation in the old assembly, I think as the portfolio committee, we need to give them a chance. Because I'm sure even that day, when they made their presentation, there was confusion among themselves. And as a portfolio committee, we have agreed that they must go back and reread and have a workshop on the bill itself so that they can have a better understanding on what the bill entails. So we agreed in that meeting that they must go back and have a workshop, and they must also invite the department to come and workshop them. I'm sure what we'll be expecting now, Shay, is that when they come and make a second presentation, they will also update us on the workshop that they had with the department, so that we can listen to their views now, their input on the bill itself. Thank you, Chair.
process of the before I went to the department. There's no way we would have suggested that they must go and workshop the bill with the department and then come back again and make a presentation. No, we never said that. And my view, therefore, is that if we do that, tomorrow another organization will rise and say, one is taken by me. Another one will do the same. Another one will do where are we going to end? We'll be creating a precedent that we are not going to sustain going forward. So my proposal, Chair, is that if they have adhered to what he said they must do, submit, and they've submitted, we'll consider the submission. But if they've not yet submitted, it's how long? It can't be infinite. It can't be unending. We've got a process that we must at some point conclude this process. We can't be held at ransom by one organization because of its own internal problems and want to transport those internal problems to us here as Parliament and we want to take responsibility for that. I don't think it would be correct. So my view is that if they submit, they've resubmitted, we can consider what they've resubmitted. After I've advised them that they must go and fine tune their submission. That's fine. But for them to come back again and make a presentation, I don't know what is that one that should happen. Thanks for this.
Can I just mind, because I do want us to talk with one another. We did have a presentation from the traditional dinner. And because of the emotional presentation from them and all the issues that they raised, we agreed that they must go and make a submission. Maybe you should workshop something different, but in as far as them making a presentation, because when they were in the old assembly, it was not, in fact, they were disagreeing with everything. And we said, no, you can't have a situation like that if you want to be part of the process. I intended to request the Secretariat to draw the minutes of that meeting. Because we seem as if we are not safe. We are not setting a precedent. They are not a stakeholder that came and again said what it was a stakeholder that had serious challenges at the time. And it is in that context that they were then asked to make a presentation. It is in that context that they are writing this letter to request them, for them to come and make a presentation. Because we are not reopening. We are not members would be substituted because at that time we picked up serious challenges and we agreed as the committee that there are challenges here. Now, I don't want us to waste time on what are the minutes saying, how are we due. I want to make and I see that there are hands that are up, and those hands that are up, I want them to look into the recommendation that I'm going to quote. But in the light of this letter that they have put before us, is that we inform them that the committee that by Wednesday next week they must come, that we must have that presentation. Don't remember. As we will be continuing with the deliberations, we are going to be forced to look into those presentations and see what is so that we are not going to be faced with the challenge of a stakeholder that takes Parliament and this committee to court from the board. So that is why a recommendation from the chair that says, when they next week let them bring their presentation, in them bring their presentation, we will interact and see how best. But it doesn't mean that we are not going to do what we are supposed to do today. Because as the chair, I would really like a situation where we are going to be accused of shutting the door for them. I don't think that we can afford to have that. So I'm trying to just to remind that it's not because we are setting a precedent, but it's because all of us, we were subjected to any environment that took all members of committee by surprise. So that is the recommendation. I see Honorable Vernon saying this up, Honorable James, Honorable Ndaba.
Thank you. Thank you, Honourable Chair. I think that's a very good recommendation. I mean, it's a delicate balance because we want to, on the one hand, ensure that people have their voices heard, but at the same time, you know, it is kind of setting the precedent that other organizations make sure that they can also come back. So I think I support you completely, Chair. I think the only thing to add is that we should appeal that there be a substantively new information or elements in that presentation. I think any organization that wants to come back, that should be key. Is that, you know, what is fresh, what is new, as compared to your previous presentation?
I agree. I mean, this is a special case. We suggested to them that they should refine their work and come back. So I think that's fine because it's defensible. So I would encourage that.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think I also support that the traditional leaders come back and do that rotation. And when we speak about traditional leaders, we've got to think, well, you know, they've been shunned for a very long time. And they don't understand that with this bill. And I understand why we really have to give them an opportunity to empower themselves outside, especially when we found that they went, you know, they refused everything that was on the table. For them to go and empower themselves and understand exactly what the bill is about, so that when they come back, if they are informed, they understand, and with us. And I think on that note, Madam Chair, I support that they come back.
Honourable Ndaba.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. I think I want to support your recommendation that this one is let's treat it as a special case, because we know, all of us, on what transpired that day, so that we give them a chance to come and make a representation again. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Members, for that cooperation. We are going to go to the business of us today. We are going to, and I mostly understand that everybody has got a bill in front of him or him, because it's going to be very important. If there is anybody who doesn't have a copy of the bill, please indicate in particular members, so that the secretariat is able to assist on that. All of us have got the bill in front of us. I don't want then the process to start with us not having the bill with us. We are going to request Ms. Roots to take us through. It is really going to need. I just want to put it up front, and I hope honorable members won't take an offense on this. It's not by any way meaning that honorable members are not attentive. Because we need to be attentive, because we're going to be taken through, we're going to be expected to say no on this, this, no on this, that. So the efforts on us, really, in fact, everybody, even from the department, but more especially us as public representatives that are for the responsibility of taking over that. By the rules, everybody has got a copy. I will then hand over to you.
Honorable Chair, many members. Yes, Honorable Chair, I just want to contextualize what we're going to be doing in Dorsetshire. So this document, the bill itself, is the document that is currently before the committee, and this one tabled, and the official one. What we did in a working document that members have is try to consolidate. As members in the last meeting instructed that legal from Parliament side as well as the department get together and try and clean up what was said, do some technical adjustments, look at interpretations, look at clashes. So the working document that members have that's printed in colour in this one is by no means binding on the committee. It's merely our intent to give effect to the committee's instruction to reflect everything that was said to date. All the proposed amendments, if members recall, the department did a presentation following public hearing stating which of the presentations or public input made practical sense and they were willing to concede to, but that's just a proposal, and then which not, and then those are all included in green, as well as then the green will also reflect some of the technical amendments that we are proposing. Then, apologies, there's also like a two-page document. We still had a quick final meeting with the department yesterday on issues that clarity was sought on. And that then I will supplement and alert members to those pages as I go through. And with permission, Chair, where it is a content issue that speaks to something the department proposed following public hearing, I'm a legal advisor, not a medical technical person. Content, I will be the worst one to guide you on that. I will then hand over to DG and DG's team to just fill in there. Chair, can I proceed, or would members like to ask a question as to how we...
Any clarities?
Well, I was comfortable.
If you think that she's verified, request her to be in chair to hold to. It's an area that you don't understand. A member will just lift up the hand and then there's nothing to be done. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. The members just to contextualize the time of the access is tagging reflected as Parliament has decided it should be processed. So those are standards that we didn't touch that. Long title, following was the Parliament proposed and as will be reflected specifically in section 18 of, or as amended, proposed amendments to section 18 of the Principal Act, the long title. The state law advisor actually proposed this amendment just to make the long title clearer as to what the act is really doing, so that if somebody picks up the amendment bill, which will then become the amendment act, they will see that there's also issues that touches on the pricing committee. So if members look at the long title there, we are proposing just to keep the bill technically correct and on point of purpose, say that it's also being included to require the Minister to consult with the pricing committee when prescribing acceptable and prohibited acts in relation to bonusing. And then members will see that proposed amendment reflected as we go on. So if I can request members just to flag that in the long title until we get to the contextual amendment in the bill, just to alert us that that's what it's going to reflect on. Then specifically in clause 1, where all the definitions are set out, a lot of the public hearings were surrounding definitions and whether it should be broad definitions or strict definitions and types of medicine. So we looked at that and the department's proposals, and as the department presented to the committee, specifically with advertising, and to bring the bill up to standard with modern trends, to include their, as members can see, electronic media. So it will read advertisement in relation to any medicine, scheduled substance, medical device, or IUD. Means any written, pictorial, visual, or other descriptive matter or verbal statement or reference. A, appearing in any newspaper, magazine, pamphlet, electronic media, or other publication. So that electronic media, if members agree to it, will then be reflected as an amendment to the bill as tabled. Chair members are, would like to ask, or can I move on to them? Is there any concerns?
Can I propose another thing? Do you want just which, how do you, how would you prefer a more healthy environment of interaction? Should she take us through, make an example, clause one and everything that is intended in clause one, or should she take us line by line in clause one and we add line by line all up to, I don't want to be prescriptive. Honourable Musa.
But Chair, I want to suggest that we stick to the agenda. They do the procedure, the presentation. We know the areas where we need clarity. Then about 11, between 11 and 1, in terms of the agenda, then we can deliberate on each of the aspects. Because the difficulty is that if we have to discuss clause by clause while she's present, we might not actually get to the point where we finish. Thanks.
Okay, Michael. Thank you, Chair. Thank you, members. The members specifically with, and I think I'll explain this at a later all together, biological medicine and complementary medicine was the issue of concern raised during the public hearing. Specifically, whether it should be in, whether it shouldn't, whether the definition of medicine itself is contained in the Act is broad enough to include those. And in discussions with the department, and I will hand over to my colleagues just to explain in more detail as required, the biological medicine and complementary medicine, as they explained to us, is a subcategory of medicine. And therefore, they conceded that in terms of the definition as included in the Act, in the Principal Act, and then with some amendments in this Amendments Act, a bill, it is sufficient to incorporate that, and because biological medicine and complementary medicine change so often, continuously, it is not the place to really have it in set legislation. It's something that should be adaptable to the trends and situations and the needs of the public and the industry. So that will then best be served in regulation. So the proposal here is to actually have biological medicine and complementary medicine removed from the bill as tabled. So that's if members agree to that, to that proposal, when the bill goes forward in the A list, you will say deleted. So biological medicine and complementary medicine to be deleted because the definition of medicine itself is broad enough to include that. I don't know if the department wants to discuss it. Is that in order? Okay. Then we had some discussion, the legal advisor and myself had questions with regard to cosmetic and foodstuffs and the inclusion of that in the definition and the deletion of which contains the scheduled substance. And we also recall that members asked questions of why foodstuffs and cosmetics should be in a medicine bill. Is it appropriate here? And I went to go look at the definition of cosmetics and foodstuffs in the Foodstuffs Act itself. That definition in itself actually excludes medicine. So the old definition, if I can say that, the proposed old definition, in fact contradicts the Foodstuffs Act to which it refers, because you can't have a cosmetics and a foodstuff that is a medicine. It's either a medicine or a cosmetic or a foodstuff. And then this will see with the proposed amendments in following later what the advisory board will actually do. The purpose of referring to cosmetics and foodstuffs here is not as vast or it's to give context and reference to a research or policy function that the advisory or the authority will actually have to advise the minister. So it's not as far as going to the medicine regulations, which is the primary focus of the principal act and then the amendment bill. This is needed just to give context and to align the definition of cosmetic and foodstuffs to what is actually reflected in the Foodstuff Act, and not to create almost an anomaly where you're saying, but it is this definition, and then you go open that act, and that act says, but nobody specifically excludes medicine. So it's to fix an anomaly. And then with medicines, we picked up in the medicine definition itself, the principal act had a different structure when it were in the 1965 version, and then with subsequent amendments, also including the 2008 subsequent amendment, the structure of the definition changed. We call it a sandwich clause, where it starts with a general phrase that has subcategories A and B, and then it has almost like a tailing general end to a sentence. And that used to be it ended with and includes any veterinary medicine as a catch-all to that. And somehow that got included into a subcategory which skewed the definition of medicine. It made it a sub B instead of a general statement under medicine. And as the department explained to us, this act is actually supposed to cover medicine as provided for humans and animals. So we needed to adjust that. So members will see there with the medicine definition, we just changed it to take the difficulty of having a sandwich clause away and made it specifically A and a B. So there's no general sentence at the bottom and general end at the top and at the bottom. We made it two separate, we're proposing that it be a little bit tighter in phrasing. So that's just us, the legal advisor and the department, sitting together proposing something that is not able to be skewed and to give proper expression to the definition for the committee consideration and chair. Medical devices members, and that is where the first supplementary page comes in this, and apologies, it's not in color. Legal services printer decided to not work this morning, so we unfortunately couldn't provide that in color, but I tried to illustrate with the bold section specifically where we are proposing an amendment for clarity purposes and for interpretation purposes. To the definition of medical device. The department explains to us that group 3 and 4 of the Hazardous Substances Act specifically refers actually to medical devices. It will be something like an X-ray machine, for example. And to clarify that and to not have inconsistencies in the act itself, instead of referring to medical devices then separately where it comes to the authority and what they do, to rather make it clear that these groups in number 3 and 4 of the Hazardous Substances Act are actually medical devices. It's not something different. So it should be set to the same standard, and it should be dealt with by the authority when they test and ensure and they set standards to the same benchmark as medical devices. So we are proposing for clarity purposes and to make that clear that these are actually medical devices and not something else for the reader who picks up the act. And that then be included. So medical device definition, as proposed, would say means any instrument, apparatus, implement, machine, appliance, implant, the deletion of in vitro there, reagent for in vitro use, deletion of or calibrated, software, material, or other similar or related article, and then including group 3 and 4 hazardous substances contemplated in the Hazardous Substance Act 1973, Act Number 15 of 1973. With the rest staying as is, and then just as an oversight we picked up in sub B of that definition, seeing as the purpose is to regulate both human and animal based or medicine for both human and animal purposes, to just include in sub B in the second line pharmacological, immunological, or metabolic means in or on the human or animal body, just for also clarity, consistency, and interpretation purposes. That then is the proposed amendments to medical devices on the bill as tabled. Then, Chair, with permission, we did not change anything on the bill as tabled in clause 2 from public hearings. Nothing was picked up by the department as necessary to amend this, so that is still as per as the bill that the members will be considering here. Then with the objects of authority chair in clause 3 that will deal with section 2A. The department following public hearings indicated that scheduled substances should be noted and also including regulatory oversight of foodstuffs and cosmetics. The regulatory oversight, that will be reflected then later on. We, with the functions of the authority, just reflected certain issues were highlighted in public hearings that medicine can't necessarily go through the same testing process and timelines as a medical device. It's two separate areas, but the authority will have functions and powers to look at both and to regulate it. And just to allow for that subtle technical drafting changes are proposed to 2B. For example, if I can just read members through it, it will say the authority must, which is an obligation, in order to achieve its objects, A, ensure the efficient, effective, and ethical evaluation or assessment, because one, a medicine may be, the one may call for evaluation and the other may call for assessment. So evaluation or assessment, and registration of medicines, medical devices, and IVDs that meet defined standards of quality, safety, efficacy, and performance where applicable. So the where applicable will allow for the contextualization. So whether it's medicine, then what is required of the standards of medicines will be met. If it's a medical device, those standards will be met. And similarly, we're proposing subtle changes then as it goes on in B, ensure that the process of evaluating or assessing and registering medicine, medical devices, and IVDs is transparent, fair, objective, and completed timely. C, ensure the periodic re-evaluation or reassessment, then depending on the context, and monitoring of medicines, medical devices, and IVDs. And D is a technical change that the department has proposed also. Ensures evidence of existing and new adverse events, interactions, information about, and then a word that I honestly can't pronounce, pharmacovigilance, is deleted, and then post-marketing surveillance and vigilance being monitored, analyzed, and acted upon is inserted. I must admit, members, this bill is a crash course for me in medical terminology. That is then just proposed there. And then I would like members to just look at the supplemented page 5, because here is where the context to cosmetic and food stuff really come in. We have had sub 2, but in sub 3, just to give proper explanation as to why it is defined in the Act itself, is to say that in sub 3 we are proposing a rephrasing, and apologies from advising, it should have been in bold. The authority is responsible for, and here's the proposed redraft, advising the minister on policy and regulatory matters relating to A, cosmetics, and B, foodstuffs. Members will see a reference to hazardous substances being deleted because that's now included in medical devices. Members just go, please.
Sorry, can I just to try and check if members have contained the same today of the flyer, the small one that she is referring to. Do you all have it?
What's making it difficult is that my version is just black and white. So that's all. Some people have.
So all of us have got it? Okay. All right. Just give us a minute. everybody? Can we go? Can she then continue? Okay. They can continue.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, members. Just to maybe then repeat, just contextualize, the idea is to give expression to the fact that cognitive and food stuff falls under the authority almost as a, I'm going to say, a subsidiary or like a sub focus area, where the master obligation falls on ensuring, reevaluating and assessing when it comes to medicine, medical devices, IVDs, and all of those real primary focus areas. When it comes to cognitive and food stuff, it's more an advisory function to inform policy that may translate into legislation. Because there is a fine line, as the department explained to us, where cosmetic and food stuff can actually impact on your health. So it's not just that this will be taking over or that it's an unnecessary issue in the Medicines Act, because it is the Medicines and Related Substances Act. There is space for related matters. But what the authority then here it will be doing is just the authority is responsible for advising the minister on policy and regulatory matters relating to cosmetics A and B foodstuffs. We're then proposing that the reference to have the substance be taken out because if members look at the primary functions in 2B, medical devices actually fall under there where it's reassessing and reevaluating and looking at the standards. And as explained, in the definition now of medical devices, hazardous substances actually, that group 3 and 4 actually refers to medical devices. So putting it in a sub there actually skews the real meaning of what is reflected there in that act. So that is the only issues there. Members then, and if I can, ask a request, some indulgence. The department highlighted something to me this morning, and I will hand over to them just to explain that to the members. They highlighted an issue with the composition of Section 2C, which relates to cosmetics and foodstuffs, to make sure that the Act does not have a skewed focus area. They are highlighting a consequential amendment if members agree to this rephrased version of the proposed rephrased version of the cosmetics and foodstuffs focus. They would like to change the composition of the board in 2C, and the department can correct me if I'm wrong here now, but they would like in 2A the reference to cosmetics and foodstuff regulatory to be deleted. So a board member is subject to Section 2, the minister must appoint as members of the board not more than 10 persons who have expertise in this field. Seeing as it's not a primary focus area of the authority, they are proposing that cosmetics and foodstuffs regulatory, that phrase there be deleted. And that has been also for members' consideration. I will update this document to reflect that request from the department from this morning, but if the youth of the team would like to comment on that.
Can I have the request that the request is done to the chair? So that we don't create and that's why for the purposes of members, so that the DG areas where she is indicating that what the department is due, that is also being raised in attendance so that when we come to deliberation, we don't go back on the floor. Thank you. Over to you, DG.
Thank you, Honourable Members and DCJ. In studying the foodstuffs, cosmetics and disinfectant act, we tried to establish whether this authority would have a statutory mandate for an oversight role. And based on advice, when we studied both the Foodstuffs, Cosmetics and Disinfectant Act is explicit in determining who has powers in terms of law for the regulation of this specific products. And there was clearly a problem when we studied this, in that it's only the Director General that delegates, but it specifies as to who may be delegated authority. In that it says officials of the National Department of Health or provincial department. So it would have been problematic to have authority delegated to, or the delegations imposed on the authority, because it would have meant that we amend the Foodstuffs, Cosmetics and Disinfectant Act. And we asked the legal people whether could we rely on a clause above that, because there's a clause above that that says that the authority may enter into agreements to cooperate with any regulatory authority. But even with that provision, it doesn't give this authority powers to have that oversight role. So the proposal was then that we could have the wording that says this authority could give advice to the minister, not have an oversight role, precisely because those powers reside in a different piece of legislation. The second chair, in light of that, we then asked whether it was still logical then to have a board composition to include people who would not be active in exercising a regulatory, exercising regulatory function. Now that we have established that track, I think that was that purpose.
Thank you, Chair, and apologies for the oversight. I think I've just become so accustomed to working with the Department of Routine, the HCFC unit, so my apologies for that. Thank you, Chair. With the permission, if I can move on to a 2D. There's a proposed amendment because of something that members mentioned during deliberation, so we thought we would put that in as a proposal to put before the committee. Members asked what happens if through the call for nominations, there's nobody to appoint. How does the second phase work? And then taking what the Science and Technology Committee LASA had to deal with setting board standards and appointment standards, we took from the example then, we are proposing in 2D sub 2, that there be an amendment to the bill as tabled to say that if the minister receives no nominations or an insufficient number of nominations within the period specified in the notice referred to in subsection 1, so the call for nominations, the minister may either re-advertise, so the minister may rerun the process, or in any other transparent manner appoint the required number of qualified persons and then delete the old version which read if suitable persons or the required number of persons is not nominated in terms of subsection 1, the minister must appoint an appropriate person or person to qualify to be appointed. The purpose here is to set a standard that if the minister can either rerun the process or if the minister finds that that process does not provide the relevant people with the necessary number of people with the relevant skills required as stated by the Act, that the minister can run choose another process, but that process must be transparent. And that actually feeds into Parliament's oversight role, so that it can be seen what process is being done, and then obviously that can then be evaluated or commented on as fair and reasonable, normal appointment standards would apply. So the proposed rephrasing is to enhance transparency and to almost like feed into Parliament's oversight role. Then, to be able to ask what the process are, please give us details if necessary. That then is the proposal there. Then, Chair, we from what the department provided and the technical issues, we didn't pick up anything else. It was 2E through to 2D. ENPF with 2G, just something to make the bill, which is the Principal Act, which is the 1965 Act, more relevant for corporate governance purposes. We are proposing a technical amendment to 2G5 when it comes to the meetings of the board and the minutes. We are proposing that a 2G5 reads minutes of the proceedings of every meeting of the board must be prepared and then with the inclusion or the proposed inclusion now and stored by such means as determined by the board. So it's not necessarily the principal act at the moment or the way it was phrased in the amendment was to read into the principal act that it must be kept in book form. That's a little bit outdated in terms of standards. So we are proposing that it be left open so that the act remains relevant going forward, whatever the technological changes are, that the board may determine in which manner it's stored, whether it's electronically stored, whether it's stored in hard copy, but just to keep the bill relevant. That then is the technical proposed amendment in 2G. We have no technical comments on 2H or 2I, straight through. For the rest of clause 3, then chair and committee members, this clause 4 as well. We picked up nothing that the department proposed for amendments prior to the public hearings, and we also didn't pick up any technical issues. The same goes for clause 5. Then with clause 6, there's again on page 10, some proposed changes following the public hearing. Just issues were raised with regard to keeping a register on scheduled substances. The department agreed with the public hearings on that, and they are proposing to the committee that reference to scheduled substances then be deleted in clause 6 addressing section 13 of the Principal Act. Then also in sub 2 of section 13, the proposal is to delete the reference to every 6 months and to make it when registration is obtained, just to allow for more flexibility. So there's not a strict, stringent time period, but when registration is obtained. Then, Chairperson and members, clause 7, we have no additional comments there following previous meetings. Clause 8 again has in addressing section 15 of the Principal Act. In sub 3A, there is a proposal to, in sub 3A, Roman numeral 3, to say, is safe, efficacious, and of a good quality, and in the case of a medical device and IVD performed as intended. That's just for a medical device and IVD, as explained previously, because medicine and medical devices work on is measured and tested on different standards to allow for that flexibility then in the registration process as well, so that they're not all set to the same standards or the same timelines and processes, and the one maybe doesn't feed into the public interest for purposes of the other one. Then clause 9, dealing with section 16 of the Principal Act, has nothing, and that's also true of the same with clause 10. Then the department came following public hearings a proposed addition to a new clause. And before I go, a proposed new clause in the bill as table, the amendment bill, to address section 18A of the Principal Act, and again, this will just allow me almost a sidebar issue. Before I get to the proposed amendments there, to section 18A is not in this bill as tabled. So the department did not highlight any proposed amendments to section 18A in this bill. Yes, the committee can deal with it, but in terms of the procedures and the NA rules, we will have to, or the committee will then, if the committee agrees that these proposed amendments are necessary after the fact and after the public hearing, just write a memorandum to the National Assembly alerting, because the committee is an extension of the House, alerting the National Assembly to the need to open clause or section 18A, because at the moment the bill did not open that clause or that section in the Principal Act. So special permission will be required in terms of the rules, just through a memorandum to the National Assembly to ask for permission to also then include a new clause in the Bill Act table. So if committee members agree with this proposed amendment from the department, then that will be almost a procedural requirement just to allow for that. And then the bonus thing is the department actually highlighted this morning that although it says product deleted in medicine and scheduled substances should not be there because that's not within the mandate of the fighting committee, which is an issue here. And if members recall the long title I mentioned the fighting committee there as an indication of the scope and the purpose of the act, and this is where that amendment to the long title then comes in. Because the department picked up certain issues with regard to the fighting committee and its mandate and what it should do from the public hearing. So 18A bonusing, sub 1, will then read no person shall supply any medicine, also then deleting scheduled substances. So no person shall apply any medicine, medical device, or IVD according to a bonus system, rebate system, or any other incentive scheme. That would then be subsection 1. Subsection 2 then reading, notwithstanding subsection 1, the minister may prescribe acceptable and prohibited acts in relation to subsection 1, and the new proposed amendment then being in consultation with the Pricing Committee referred to in section 22G, or 22G. So that is the amendment which the department regarded as necessary following the public hearings, and then share with your permission if the department would like to add something or contextualize that for the members, or is this information sufficient?
Chair, the point was raised during public hearings. It wasn't necessarily raised by the department, but we're not opposed to the principle. And I'll just try to explain my understanding of the issue. The problem of bonusing, in as far as medicines are concerned, is a problem because it drives unnecessary consumption. You get over prescription of antibiotics that otherwise would not be needed. Bonusing when it comes to food is okay. I mean, if you want 1 + 3, you buy 2 tins of baked beans and you get 2 free. I think for food it's in order. For medicine, our concerns are that it drives consumption, but it's also not good practice because no dispensing doctor can buy medicines just to keep them because they will expire anyway. Neither can a pharmacist do that. So there surely could be other incentives given, but bonusing may not be a preferable one. In our discussions with different stakeholders, we've always raised this as a concern. So we're not opposed to what has been proposed during public hearings by the Crisis Committee.
Members, then I leave that in your capable hands to decide whether that proposal is required or not, and depending on the decision of the committee on whether that amendment is a good one, that will then determine whether a memorandum will have to be written in terms of the rules to the NHS members to that new clause being opened. Then we did not pick up anything technically or in terms of the public hearings in clause 11 through to Kansas and Garshin. Three, two, four. What's that? Nothing else is picked up. clause 22, where there was something that we picked up again. So everything else is left in this bill and table, subject to the committee consideration. In clause 22, addressing section 36 of the bill that deals with exclusion, just from a cross-referencing perspective, it is we picked up that 36 sub 2 on amendments, look at page 31 of the working document. It will, the proposal is that reference not only be made to 22G but just to section 18A as well. Then this will be, if the bonusing, it will be a consequential. The bonusing issue goes through and shall be affected by the minister on recommendation of the pricing committee. So also then depending on whether members regard the noted new proposed amendment to section 18A, if members vote yes on that, then consequently as a knock on this will require an amendment to clause 22. And then members, just from a technical perspective, in clause 16 at the end on page 34, just to make sure that the bill stays alive and relevant, the bill and table at the moment refers to the Act of Calls and Medicines and Related Substances Act of 2014, and that will just require a technical amendment to make that 2015. Chairperson, that has been the only technical issues we have picked up in consultation with the department following what they proposed after public hearings. Then I leave those in the capable hands of members to decide whether it is necessary or not.
So thank you very much. Can we just have a comfort break? 5 minutes comfort break so that we try and put all our stuff in order and then we, so that when we will then be starting our deliberation. 5 minutes comfort break. Welcome on your teacher.
Okay, all my best friends for the issue for before that. Can just for New Year's, so New Year's year includes Christmas and Easter. I think it's really long or February.
Yeah.
ask me to do a couple of stuff, maybe. Because today is very often the committee that was in the
Thank you.
just trying to prepare ourselves so that now we are going to stand and there are those other members that are still outside. We have been all been listening. We agreed on a process that will allow the Muslims to take us through. Now we have got this document. We have got the bill. She has started by started in the in page. That is on the page that has got a bold bill, which is page 2. Now, as we will be commenting or suggesting whatever, we will start from there. And I must understand that we have highlighted all the areas that she was then in. Referring us to them. I will then hand over to members. But with the understanding that we're starting from page 2, page 3, up to the section where she then said this is the last proposal in this section. So as we'll be looking into this, we'll also be referring be reminded that there are some of the issues that have been raised. The department has also raised some issues on some areas for staff and cosmetics, just to remind. So I'm just trying to gear our minds and our understanding to what we are then going to do today. With understanding that it is not end but the beginning. So deliberations are still going through. So I'm trying to say we must not then rush, but at the same time we must not just be stagnant for an hour. Well, on legal matters at times that is not affordable. That is unavoidable, but at least we will have to ensure that we move in a pace that is going to make us comfortable. Was at the end, it is the end product that we must all embrace and be comfortable and be happy about. Thank you, Honorable Members. Now it's your turn, Honorable James.
Thank you, Chair. Just for clarity, this is the original amendment bill. Okay. So we're working on this one. Thank you.
Honourable members, is that silence meaning that we're agreeing, we're fine? Honourable Matthias, sir.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Because of the lapse of the last engagement and trying to do a recap, I suppose that we at a stage where we need to make a final review and touch on just need to be sure if I'm on the right track. Or do we still have to subject this review process to some technical committee outside of this committee?
We are in a process where we have been taken through by the legal units of what are the proposals and the amendments. Working together on that as they have done with the department. They are now done with that. We are now going to deliberate. We are going to suggest within some programs. We think that this is fine. But we think that the comma must be removed there. Why this corner? Why yes? Why when? Why then? We think that we are in that process. It is not a final process. Deliberations are not, we are not going to finish them today. We will finish them today if members are saying, no, no, we are happy with all what is proposed. We agree. So I'm just addressing the we're not in a final stage, but we are what is called, we are then starting the deliberations as the members of the portfolio committee who have been listening to all the stakeholders who came to make presentations, who are now being taken through and be advised, if I may, on what they think, what the legal session. At the end of the day, now it is then our turn. They will come in some of the legal areas. Obviously, they are going to be here. The state law advisors are supposed to be here. The legal team from the department is here in the deliberations. Now it is our turn. I hope I have clarified. Honorable Musa.
No, thanks, and thanks for the guidance, but I think also it's going to be important that we must clarify ourselves on how we're going to reconcile the deliberations today with the fact that we just agreed to allow other people to come and make a presentation next week. What impact would that have on whatever that we'll be deliberating on? Because we have to make progress. We can't be stuck forever. So if we can also clarify that aspect, it's just a process issue. I think it will assist us to see how we move with the deliberations on the proposed amendments. Thanks.
There is another hand before I respond to that. Honorable James, what's your hand up? I'm on a little question to honorable members. That the previous discussion on the correspondence from the traditional Hillary not make us not to do what we are supposed to do. Today, it's not the end and the beginning. We will look into their presentations. We will take the presentations to the legal session. As we are moving, We will look into that, and then in the end, and then look into what it. I get the sense that the question is saying, so why are we to continue when we are still to be awaiting a presentation? I would appreciate if the question can come up front in that, so that together we are then able to advise. And so that we don't make this process quite a very tedious, very strenuous, very stressful, very technical process. It's a process that is going to mean that we assist one another. And I'm requesting honorable members that when we will then be asking questions, let's ask a straightforward question. Are we to proceed when we have just said we are doing for a presentation, so that we look into that. That would be my frank and open and friendly and upfront question.
I don't want to read what members want, because one thing that it is going to be a challenge is that, and which I want to put it as well to honorable members, as we are doing the continuing this process, we're not going to close the traditional healing outside. We're going to engage with them. We're going to sit down as the committee and the legal consult, come back to the committee, but in the final analysis is that we will have to have a preview of that presentation. And that is the if the question is, which I think I must be upfront with it, I don't want to be running around, is the view of the member saying, we can't continue if then there is a presentation that we are to have, so that we are then preparing ourselves, we are then upfront in responding and assisting as the chair on how then we are to move forward. So I'm requesting members to do that, because it is really going to, I would have appreciated if the question was asked when we were dealing with the matter, so that as we move forward, we know what it is that we are going into. And I'm honest and open and I'm humbling myself to members that let's but in the center, members must understand that we are not going to close the traditional healers submission outside this whole process. We must together come up with a process that is going to assist ourselves and them and the process in moving forward. Honorable Matthias, both Honorable James. Unfortunately, your hands go up simultaneously. I don't know what I must do with this. And the last of Honorable Ndaba. Honorable Matthias.
Thanks, Madam Chair. I think your further elaboration on what should really be the task, immediate task of the committee now here, gives further clarity on what is agenda, what should be processed, and how the presentation later by the organization concerned will be encapsulated in the discussions going forward. However, I must hasten to indicate that towards the end of the deliberation, I will be submitting a substantive proposal and argument on the substance of the bill. However, let me hasten again to check with members and the chair in particular and the presenter from the state law advisor or the legal advisor. The objects of the proposed bill as presented here.
Yes, sorry for that. There's a matter on the floor, on the looking at that. I thought that you were speaking on the question that was asked, that I have responded to by Honorable Musan, on there is what is then going to be the situation that we are going to be proceeding, and there is a presentation that is going to be made by a stakeholder. Because it's not, I thought you were talking with that meeting. If not, can I check with the two hands, in fact the three hands, if they are, you'll pardon me, honorable member.
Thanks, Madam. I think I agree with yourself. Hence, in my input, I made use of the word encapsulate. Essentially, I'm agreeing with yourself. That will be the course of action and how are we going to integrate their presentation later in the broad deliberation. So I agree with you.
Okay. On the change?
Thank you very much, Chair. I will lead the DA's response and say just by way of introduction that there's no, we don't see any reason why the hearings next week from the traditional leaders will compromise the process as we are proceeding now, because this is the initial discussion of what we need to tackle, and it's not a clause-by-clause decision-making process that comes much later. With that understanding, to say, to thank you very much for the submission by the legal advisor. It's very comprehensive, and it in fact dealt with most of the issues that we were worried about.
I want us to deal with this matter, with that question, so that we don't move when there is still a matter that is hanging. The Honourable Judge, then you will have another round if then members want us to go into. Honourable Judge.
Thank you very much. Madam Chair, I don't think, first of all, that I support the proposal that we do not shut the traditional out, the traditional leaders out. Having said that, Madam Chair, I don't think allowing them an opportunity to come and do another presentation will hinder the process. I think we can still continue with the process, but because you're still going to do the submission anyway. And this time around, when we do the submissions of the traditional fields, I'm not sure that we are done with all the submissions. But when they do submit, they will be submitting the submissions that they understand. Because I think that's important, that they understand this bill and be a part of it and support it. So I don't think we'll hinder anything. We can still continue with the process. Second version.
Honourable Douglas? My hand was up. But now I'm a little bit confused. I wanted to say to agree with the. I thought maybe Member Musala was proposing that maybe why can't we wait for the presentation of the traditional leaders so that we can reconcile all the information. You know, I thought you were saying that. That's why I was asking you. But you know, sitting with. Where I'm sitting now, I'm thinking on what Member Mathias said now. Maybe he's going to make another submission. I'm not sure. You know, it's a question more. I thought as members we got an opportunity to make our input here. You know, and we've been dealing with this bill all along. And if another member is going to make another submission after we have dealt with this bill, then unless somebody clarified me.
I'm humbly requesting that the latter, because I didn't want to respond, because I have to just check whether it's members. But in my understanding that we don't do that, what we do deliberate to raise our issues here in the committee. We don't make submissions outside. Because we're not a stakeholder, we're a committee of parliament charged with issues on health. So that is discharged. Don't worry about that. That is not going to happen. Whatever a member wants to say is going to in the community. There's going to be no separate submission. I'm requesting that maybe it's going to be important that the Honourable Member, because the question came across
Now, we are going to start deliberations. There is a stakeholder that is going to make submissions. What does that mean? Maybe the member, if he can just clarify himself so that we are able. And I'm only requesting the honorable members, this matter, I don't think it's a matter, it's our very first 2 hours of deliberations. We're still very far. Truth be told, we're still very far. And but let me first hear what honorable Musala was saying.
Now, I must clarify, Chair, that my question was not intended to create an impression that the traditional leaders must not come and make a presentation. So that notion must be dispelled. I think we have agreed that they can come and make a presentation next week. I just wanted you to clarify how we're going to reconcile both processes. The process of today, of engaging broadly on this thing and the presentation. And I'm going to suggest, Chair, that we must proceed with the engagement on whatever issues that we want to raise. And as and when we proceed, maybe the process will reconcile themselves, somewhere in the future while we are dealing with this particular deal. Thank you.
Thank you for that, honorable member. Rest assured, we will be able to handle that. We'll come back and we'll advise on what is important is that obviously we'll consult and be advised accordingly on how then to deal with the matter. But with understanding that we will address the matter. Now, we are starting with the deliberations. We have been presented the views of the legal and units from our committee. Who wants to take the first day? And I just want to remind you that we will start from where, remember that there are some issues that you need in terms of the bill itself, the approach. And she referred us to this document. There are areas where she referred us to this document. So when we speak, we will have the name to look into that and say yes or no, change. The first hand, Honorable James, Honorable Matthias.
Just to clarify the procedure, we had some initial comments to make about items that were clarified and redefined by the legal advisor to the committee in response to the submissions made. So, and we had 4 comments to make. And they don't follow the bill, clause by clause. So if I can proceed with the 4 points. The first, I'll raise the first one, and I'll hand over to my colleague for the other 3. The first one is to deal with the definitions of biological medicine and complementary medicines. You've neatened it up very nicely, I must say. And there's a sophistication in the clarity provided. And the question is simply, since they will be removed from the bill, just to confirm that they will then appear in the regulations. So that was my issue. My colleague, Dr. Walming, would like to speak about very briefly about transparency and appointments, issues to do with clarity of language when it comes to veterinary matters, and then a point about the Pricing Commission. Time. Through you, Chair.
In future, I don't want any member to practice that. Any member wants to speak from the title. Okay.
Apologies, sir. Thank you very much for that. Just to continue with what Honorable James was saying, on the issue of transparency, this is really again just to get technical and legal guidance. There is the clause around the minister's appointment of committee members and the issue of not being able to appoint a person because of lack of response from the advertisement and then the powers given to him. in terms of then appointing. And it says here that it should be done in a transparent manner, which is great. The question is then, what does that actually entail? The transparency is a very broad term. Does that involve us then having a formal parliamentary check on those particular appointments? Because we have to protect the minister and all, obviously ourselves in terms of those appointments. So just to define what that means, transparency. The next point is really just a minor point. I'm sorry, I'm going back now, but on the question of veterinary medicine, when you actually had those initial definitions, just for consistency, you speak about animal and humans in the clauses just after that section, but then before you speak about the substances that are covered up. So I'm just trying to get to the appropriate section here. So on page 3, where it speaks about includes any veterinary medicine, and then if you go on the medical device, then you start speaking about the human body and the animal body. Just for consistency, wouldn't it be better just to say human and animal in that first section, just so you have consistency of language, and then take out veterinary medicine? I mean, would that be technically appropriate? And the final point is on the pricing commission. It speaks about on page. When it speaks about the ministers, the bonusing, 18A, and it speaks about the minister then having to consult the pricing commission in terms of which acts are prohibited, which are acceptable. Again, I mean, so, you know, what will guide the minister in that? We obviously understand the minister has discretion, but, you know, that can actually also open up a kind of worms in terms of, you know, what isn't allowed and doesn't actually link to the first part of that clause. So just what guidance, what reference we have in terms of defining which acts would be prohibited and which would be allowed. Thank you.
Thanks, Madam Chair. The point I made earlier on, I think I must foreground what I'm about to say, is that was better misunderstood than was construed. When I spoke about a substantive submission within the context of these discussions, right here. So that part would be dealt with as we get to final details. However, let me quickly raise a few questions. First and foremost is about the object of the now presented in a revised form. Initially, the object of the bill was the establishment of SAFA. I want to check if that is still the case, because now it's been phrased in Kachat. It's a reduction of what is the initial object. To would also quickly go to the issue of the composition of the regulatory authority. The MMC in its current form is composed of about 23 members or so, not more than that. But the proposed amendment we use proposes any number between and not more than 50. With that, I want to check if that is the case. And in doing so, would the composition be truly representative and inclusive of stakeholders? And lastly, it was all about that the bill is how it's been presented in its current form fails to recognize the concomitant reference to the general rules, general regulations, as they provide what kind of skills, qualification, expertise for members of the regulatory authority. If perhaps there can be a concomitant reference to it, that to clarify the whole aspect of the composition. Again, what is also lacking here is concomitant reference to the South African Medicines and Medical Regulatory Authority Act of parts of that history and how that history plays itself out today with the task that we have to deal with today. Thank you very much.
Honourable Minister.
No, thank you, Chair. In the same breath, my colleague, the Honourable Bolmik, asked on the pricing committee. Maybe I suggest that maybe you must go a little bit to town on this particular matter and explain to us why you have felt that this particular clause must be inserted in the, what has been the current practices, what has been the challenges, what has been the weaknesses, and so on and so forth. And how do you think, you know, this would really assist in making sure that the situation is actually clarified from that particular perspective? That's the first. And the second issue is, just for interest, why are you taking out, why do you suggest that you must take out the sedule substance from this particular appeal? And then the last one for me is on page 5, cosmetic and foodstuffs. In your previous presentations to this particular committee, you have indicated that you're going to have units in SAPRA. Now, what has prompted you now suddenly to want to take out, especially from the composition of the board, cosmetic and foodstuff? Because if I remember very well, you, in your presentation, you had indicated part of the reason why you have this in this particular view was that some of the things that get into our country, they are not going to be monitored and so on and so forth. You know, we don't know what people are eating there. And that's the reason why you think this particular thing must come to SAPRA, so that there must be proper regulation on the food and the stuff that we are eating and all the things that are in the shops. Now, why are you taking it out? And if it goes out here, are we sure that wherever it's going to be left, is it going to be, are we going to be protected as citizens of this particular country? Thanks.
Before any hand or a response, we are joined by two persons. I would appreciate if they can introduce themselves. You will use the mic.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Wahid Patel from Ethical Political Consulting.
I would appreciate if you can write where you are coming from so that the question is fine. The next lady. The lady.
Ms. Al-Jafi, Ethical Political Consulting.
I think those are the only questions from members.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, members. Chair, with your permission, some of the questions go along to content and more issues that falls in the department itself, knowledge and expertise. I'll comment as appropriate where my knowledge lies on legal and then hand over with Chair's permission to my colleagues from the department. Members, thank you for the question. As far as I understood, is from the discussions by the department, and they can correct me if I'm wrong, biological and complementary, well, that's something that should be regulated in regulations itself because of the ever-changing nature. So that's my understanding, and that's how I'll leave to my colleagues in the department to confirm. The issue of transparency with the appointment system, in other pieces of legislation, we also just use the word transparency. The same with the concept such as fairness and usableness. In law, it sounds pretty vague, but it allows for contextual application. Because depending on the circumstances, it may be that the minister needs to only appoint one person, or he may need to appoint five. You have to decide what is a transparent process would need at that time, and then follow that. Because it's a transparent process, what that word allows for Parliament is that it's not something that can be done behind closed doors, which, as you say, will protect the minister as well as give Parliament probably to ask the minister what process did you follow? Come and tell us how did you reach this decision to make sure that the people you have picked through this transparent process meet the same standards as those that would have come through the process as outlined in the Act, because you have to have the same standards. And transparency gives that contextual flexibility, but also empowers Parliament and protects the minister at the same time. So it seems pretty vague, but when the minister takes that decision, that is when it will be revealed what would be transparent in that situation. With regard to medical device and medicine, with reference to veterinary medicine and then human body and animal, there we took our, we were informed a lot by what the department explained. But I think what's also, how I understood it as why it was veterinary medicine in the first one and then a rather human body or animal body in the second one, is the content changed as well. In the one you have written with the definition of medicine, so you're qualifying the type of medicine, it's veterinary medicine. To use animal medicine would be moving away from a recognized, defined, almost dictionary description, something that's standard, where with a medical device you are working more towards what the device will impact on. It will impact on a human person, it will impact on an animal, so your subject matter shifts. It's not so much on the medical device, where in the previous one it will be medicine, a human medicine, veterinary medicine. Where in the second one is medical device for humans, medical device for animals. I think that's why we had the difference in definition there. With bonusing, that I will have to leave to the department to deal with. That was really us taking our position from a drafting perspective from what they said were appropriate and contextually relevant practice-wise reflected in public hearings. I don't have the necessary knowledge, unfortunately, to comment on the bonusing structure or what would be in its exclusion at that stage. Then members comment on the objects of the bill. The section that we put in there in green with the long title, which basically highlights the objects of the bill, we didn't take anything out. So the focus is still SAPRA, but just for clarity purposes, so that when somebody picks up the bill, because legislation is for the public, they need to know what is happening inside, and a brief summary and a reference, and that's where your long title comes into the objects and giving that summary of the aim of the bill. And we're merely indicating that if the committee decides that the reference to the pricing committee is something that is advisable, and if the committee then feels that proposal or proposed amendment needs to be reflected as a consequential once permission is granted by the House, that consequential inclusion, because it's not there at the moment in the bill as stable, needs to be reflected in the long title, then to contextualize for transparency purposes, so that somebody knows when they pick up the bill that something was added, it was expanded almost through this decision. Composition, whether the composition of the authority is a true reflection on the stakeholders, I don't have enough knowledge of the industry itself. I will have to hand that over to my esteemed colleagues from the department to advise on that. And similarly, then, whether the bill fails to reflect the required qualification or give expression to the historic developments in legislation up to this point from an industry perspective. Unfortunately, from a legal perspective, I don't have the knowledge to comment on that, and I will be back to the department. Then members also asked with the bonusing again, why is the current practice not there, why are there weaknesses. Similarly, I beg the department to deal with that one. And cosmetics and foodstuffs units as well. I think as the DG explained, and that's from a legal perspective, it's how we understood it as Parliament's legal advisory team and the state law advisors. The Foodstuffs Act already has certain requirements there. We can't, from this Act, amend that Act because it's another principal Act. the department will have to bring that up and amend it if they feel there's a need or a gap in the regulatory authority that's given to the DG or the minister in that context of that. So what the proposed amendment to the authority and the cosmetics and foodstuff qualification is proposing is to give the authority without compromising what is said in the Foodstuff Act as to the delegation powers given to the DGM and oversight powers of the minister, is to do the research on cosmetics and foodstuffs. And as members know, how do we know what is good for us? How do we know what the standards are? What legislation will be protecting the public from bad food being on the market? What this allows now is for the authority to, if I understand correctly, have a unit or a team, as was noted, and you can correct me with Chairperson's permission, that will then look at policy development. So policy development research that they do on that will be reported to the minister, and that will then be used to inform legislation if need be, or inform amendments if need be, to protect against such hazards or such mischiefs in practice where people provide foods or cosmetics that are substandard and therefore at risk. So still giving the authority that power to look into it, but not undermining the power and the structure set aside in another principal act. If that needs to change, that's something that will have to be amended separately. We can't from the Medicines Act amend in another principal act. Thank you, Chair.
Those are areas that have been referred to the committee.
Yes, thank you, Chair. For further clarity on pricing committee, in addition to what I clarified earlier, I'll ask Dr. Anban Pili to comment. With regard to the skills, Chair, sometimes it's difficult to be explicit about skills in the Act because every time there are new developments, and I just want to use an example about evolution of technology. We now have stem cell research, for instance. We have nanotechnology. We have biotechnology, which is an evolving area. It means every time that these developments must come back and amend the Act. So we might want to make provisions in secondary legislation. And even with the complementary lessons, as an example, Chair, I've always argued and maintained that you can't call traditional medicine that are not, you can't have African traditional medicine called traditional in China, for instance. For the Chinese people, African traditional medicines are complementary. They can't call them traditional because they're not already indigent in China. Equally, Unanity, Sida, Ayurveda, you cannot call traditional in India, in another setting. They are traditional because they are linked to the practices in that country, and they are original, and they are indigent. Equally in South Africa, if you say African traditional, it's because it's indigent in South Africa. So we have specifically, Chair, broadly addressed the definition. And I want to go back to the earlier question to say medicine. It's anything that is in formulation form that gets into our body and makes changes. Now, if it's not in formulation form, you cannot call it a medicine. You probably either call it a plant or call it something else. So here, we're dealing with things that are in formulation for which the active substance makes changes in our body and exert a pharmacological action. Now, I'm giving that background because we might want to link that to the type of skills of people who are needed to regulate. If you need a chemist, you must have a chemist. If you need because with the science now, we have a, what we call pharmacogenomics and pharmacogenetics. And the problem is that those are rare skills. Now it means if you write here pharmacogenomics, pharmacogenetics, proteomics, you are so rigid that if another science comes, you then have to change every time and write the law in that manner. So what we ask for is that we have broad language about skills. And then in regulations, you can always then define those skills and as and when required. That would be what I would appeal the portfolio committee to consider. The next chair about cosmetics and disinfectants. I think the problem that we have is what is already in our case, that you don't want to create conflict. I think this is what we're trying to say. How we want to make sure that the authority has oversight, which like that. But the question is, how do we do that? And the advice is that the committee can advise, but they can't have an oversight vote because it would be in conflict with another act. Meaning, even if there was cross-reference, the other act does not impose those powers. Those powers are limited, and this is what we're trying to deal with, and this is the advice we got. Thank you. Dr. Pili.
Thank you, Chair. In relation to the matter relating to bonusing, I think it's important just to recognize that in the current environment, the Section 18A is operational, and it's oversight is by the pricing committee, and the consequence of which is that the device industry or the IVD industry operates very differently from the medicine industry. So a consequence of which is that bonusing and rebates in their sector sometimes is the only way they can do business. And if they don't have an exclusion or a more acceptable practice which may be different to medicine, it may be difficult for them to continue to operate. So we currently, through the exemption clause, Section 36, have exempted those suppliers from certain practices. But with the amendment of the legislation, mean that SAHPRA would have to now deal with pricing, and Mandy is no longer dealing with pricing matters because there's a separation between the pricing committee and SAHPRA. And so clearly the pricing committee then needs to continue to allow these practices to continue in some way being regulated. So this is to try and align those practices to make sure that they continue to be regulated in terms of the pricing committee activity. And so that's the reason why we have. So to give you an example, one example as the CG had mentioned, but one, for example, for medical devices, if you have a patient who is in theater and one needs to be using a prosthesis, it's difficult to work out what prosthesis you need to be using until the patient's on the table and the clinician then is able to try out different devices. Now, all of those devices will have to be available at the point at which the patient's in theater. So effectively, these companies give these products to the hospital and the Lion Theatre, and they are effectively sold. But the company, the hospital, doesn't pay for it until the point it was inserted into a particular patient. So those kinds of activities would fall foul of the bonusing arrangement, for example, as it's currently structured. And so one would need to exempt them from those kinds of things. So that's the intention of trying to make sure that there are practices that are in place, and the minister to the pricing committee can then define how those practices occur and allow the patients to have them.
Honourable members, that is the response, any more follow-up questions on the presentation that we have been
I'm raising that because I know hands. I was not invited again. Translating to other honorable members, and I'm translating for you too. That was on a lighter note. So, what then we will again? I think it's going to be important that as we're moving on, members will relook into. I'm sure that they have noted the submission, they have noted the responses. Doesn't mean when we are to come back, we are not going ahead, because deliberations, I think I want to emphasize this, deliberations in the first day doesn't mean. But again, we are not to drag this game, but we don't have to do trash, because it will come back to our faces. And I don't think in some of them I would be comfortable with the situation where a bill is taken to court. I'm making an example, because we have not done our work thoroughly. So as we start, I want that to be our understanding. Honorable Matthias.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The answer by the legal advisor discomforts me in that there's no clarity in an account on whether various pieces of legislation that the one of which I referred to has been taken into consideration. Because we must appreciate that the amendment bill notes the 1965 Medicine and Related Substance Control Act 101. But a whole range of legislation that have been promulgated or enacted during the new dispensation, democratic dispensation, seem not to be taken into account. Hence my point about concomitant reference to such pieces of legislation. Because legislation does not evolve in a vacuum. It knows and recognizes all steps in the of the chain from the start to the end. So a bit what unbid discomfort or uncomfortable about lack of clarity about that. Because that will impact on whether this committee is seized with dealing with the mandate that itself understands. Or we're merely going through a routine. A routine of work which takes us nowhere. So I'm very uncomfortable, and I must express my discomfort about that. Thank you.
Can we agree that for today, this is where we are. But we have been given that.
Due to recognize, because I want to respond to what my friend from the EFF was actually going on about, if you allow it.
Okay, before I wrap up.
I'm going to request the honorable member not to undermine our intelligence as members of this particular committee by insinuating that we don't know what we are doing. That's the first thing. The second thing, it is up to him. That responsibility rests with him. If he picks up that there are certain legislations which were enacted after 1994 which are not reflected here, he must actually bring those particular legislations to the fore. Thanks.
Thank you, Honorable Musa. Because remember, when we started the meeting, I did allude to the fact that health by its nature is an emotive subject. But we must try our best not to add petroleum to the fire. In fact, I opted not to respond to your comments, Honorable Musa. But Honorable Matthias, but thank you, Honorable Musa. because really, you were really bothering me. To that end, I don't think that is correct. Having said that, we have been given documents. We have the bill in front of us. We have been given documents. What we are then advised, the chair will be advising at the committee, is that as we will then preparing for next week, we go through that document thoroughly. We then identify some of the issues. We then, because we are still going, it's still an ongoing process. So that we don't remember that I said we must not drag, but we are not to rush at the same time. So for us to then be able to do a thorough work and a product that all of us are going to embrace and be proud of, that is what is expected from us. And all of us can do that. That means we have got that responsibility. Legal jargon is quite a very touchy a little bit at times, but it doesn't mean that we are not to ask. I think Ms. Lucy is there to assist the committee. Can there be order? Then the chair would advise the members of the committee to do that. If there are some documents that maybe we are not having, we will feel free to the secretariat to request those documents. If that then means next week we are expected to really to have that event. It's going to be rigorous. And we must not, at times, we must not change. There are comments that we should not bother ourselves. There are comments that are taking us out of the, taking our eyes away from the goal. And we must never allow that to happen because we have got a number of tasks in front of us. Thank you very much. I think we have finished an hour before, not because of our liking. I think the next meeting, and I want to, for the purpose, and I think I must be upfront, for the purpose of the other members who are in the other panel, which they may be having there, if a need arises, we will ask permission to sit in a day which is not our slot, our day. But if that need arises, we'll ask a permission, but we will consult with the members of the opposition parties on those days. If I can make an example, if the need arises that we sit on Friday, it's just an example. We will, because Friday is not our slot is only on Wednesday. We will make necessary application, but before we make that application, we will consult. And in that consultation, I'm upfront requesting those members to be flexible, because we must finish this, to be flexible and bear with us until we finish the bill. I'm saying, I just want the members to have that understanding so that they are not taken by surprise when the situation necessitates us to do that. Having said that, thank you very much, Ms. Lucy. Thank you very much, Carmen. Thank you very much, honorable members. It's our first day. Yeah, but I think on Wednesday, next week, we're going to be vibrant. Not that we're not vibrant, but we're still trying to climatize with the pain. Thank you very much. The meeting is adjourned until we meet.